As John McCain and Barack Obama vie for the White House, McCain predicts that his rival will repeat one line of attack over and over.
That I'm running for President Bush's third term. You'll hear every policy of the president is described as the Bush-McCain policy.
In fact, President Bush and John McCain have sharp differences on a range of issues, from global warming to embryonic stem cell research to a constitutional ban on same-sex marriage. But, as NPR's David Wellner reports, on two of the biggest controversies of the Bush administration, the Iraq War and the use of torture, McCain and the president have, in the end, come together.
The other day, I asked the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Democrat Joe Biden, whether there was anything in John McCain's presidential campaign putting him at odds with President Bush on Iraq. Biden could think of nothing.
Now, there may be something emerge that shows a difference, but I haven't seen anything yet.
McCain, in fact, was one of the most ardent advocates of overthrowing Saddam Hussein. He either matched or went beyond President Bush's rhetoric in making a case for war. Here's McCain railing against Saddam Hussein on the Senate floor in October 2002, shortly before the Senate approved the resolution to use force in Iraq.
He has developed stocks of germs and toxins in sufficient quantities to kill the entire population of the earth multiple times. He's placed weapons laden with these poisons on alert to fire at his neighbors within minutes, not hours, and has devolved military authority to fire them to subordinates. He develops nuclear weapons with which he would hold his neighbors and us hostage.
5 months later, President Bush announced to the nation the war in Iraq had begun.
Now that conflict has come, the only way to limit its duration is to apply decisive force. And I assure you, this will not be a campaign of half measures, and we will accept no outcome but victory.
But the months that followed saw widespread looting in Iraq and a growing insurgency, and McCain quickly became a critic of President Bush's conduct of the war. He did not join the call by others for Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's resignation, but in November 2006, on the day President Bush announced Rumsfeld had resigned, McCain had this grim assessment of the war.
It's a long list of misjudgments and errors that were made that has cost us enormously in American blood and treasure.
McCain believed President Bush had not sent enough troops to win the war in Iraq, according to McCain's close ally, Connecticut Independent Senator Joe Lieberman.
McCain had the courage to stand up both to President Bush and Secretary Rumsfeld and tell the truth. That the policy was a failure, and he had the courage to call for the surge even when it was politically unpopular because he knew it was the right thing to do.
McCain led the call for a troop buildup just as he was launching his presidential bid in January last year.
It would be far better to have too many reinforcements in Iraq than to suffer once again the tragic results of insufficient force levels.
President Bush, in turn, told the nation the time had come for a change of strategy in Iraq.
This will require increasing American force levels. So I've committed more than 20,000 additional American troops to Iraq.
And with that, the dispute between the president and McCain on Iraq ended. Jack Pitney of Claremont McKenna College says it's clear who prevailed in the standoff.
Now you could say that there's very little daylight between Bush and John McCain, but that's because President Bush moved in McCain's direction, not the other way around.
Torture was another flashpoint. In late 2005, McCain sponsored an amendment limiting interrogation techniques to what was in the Army Field Manual, which excludes the use of torture. Vice President Cheney opposed having that set of rules apply to the CIA, which clearly angered McCain.
Why is it that some people feel that we should carve out an exemption for a branch of our government to practice cruel and inhumane treatment or even torture?
But McCain, in the end, agreed to limit the torture ban to the U.S. military. With McCain sitting at his side in the Oval Office, President Bush declared the two of them had achieved a common objective.
And that is to make it clear to the world that this government does not torture, and that we adhere to the International Convention of Torture, whether it be here at home or abroad.
Earlier this year, McCain voted against another effort to bring the CIA in line with the Army Field Manual. McCain clearly had moved in the president's direction. David Wellner, NPR News, Washington.